This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio, WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Good evening. Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV. 2 hours of football and fun for you, folks. Brian Sexton joined by my broadcast partner, Jeff Lagerman. Hey, Jeff, how are you tonight?
Good.
And the man sitting to his right, my left, the senior editor of Jaguars.com, the host of Jaguars Monday, Vic Ketchman.
Thank you so much, Vic.
How are you?
I'm fine. Jeffrey, how are you?
Fantastic.
Great.
Phone lines are already lighting up, and we've barely opened them up for you. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Where to begin? One preseason game.
That's a big week, you know. I mean, it's the last preseason game, and I guess the starters are supposed to play an extended period of time, which, you know, I don't know if I believe all that.
Well, I don't, because he said he wasn't going to play him that much in Philly, and then he played him into the third quarter.
Yeah, you know, so really, I mean, this game's importance is about roster spots, you know, and evaluating those guys that are right there on the cusp of making it or not. And I think there's going to be some very significant roster spots to be determined tomorrow night. I think it's going to be very entertaining from that standpoint.
By the way, are you cutting the roster tonight?
We can.
Give me one of those.
Doesn't he always cut the roster on this show?
Yeah. Do you have an extra one?
Yeah.
All right.
I want to see him get in trouble. Yeah. Instead of me?
All right.
No, we don't have to do it right now.
This
is our roster show, is it not?
Yeah, it's what it's got to be. Yeah,
people at home are doing that.
Just like our draft show, I mean, we have to prognosticate and try to determine what the roster is going to be.
All right. So which side of the ball do you want to start on, the offensive side or the defensive side?
Let's start with the offensive.
Always offense. Quarterback.
Come on.
Start with quarterback.
Well, we've got callers who are already talking about battles. Offensive line, long
snapper.
Well,
we're going to get into all that. So hang on, folks.
All right. So just bear with us. We'll light up the lines. Let's take a position.
Well, you got to take the most important position on a football field, and that's quarterback, and it's going to be a two-quarterback roster.
Not necessarily. Let me give you a little...
The drama begins, folks.
Let me give you a little...
A little tweet?
Yeah, a little tweet,
a little birdie
to that. No, not a tweet. A tweak. Yes, Jack Del Rio wants to keep two quarterbacks. But if the Jaguars were to see someone come free over the weekend that they could sign, a guy they like,
whoever, backup quarterback.
Yeah, whoever it is. For instance, they were talking about Tyler Thigpen last week. Now, Tyler Thigpen is not going to come free because Matt Cassel is hurt. But if Tyler Thigpen was to be cut, you know, that would probably be somebody who would interest him. Therefore, they would then try to sign him. But he wouldn't be up to speed with the offense right away. So you'd have to keep three guys, right?
Yeah.
So there would be one possibility that you might see three quarterbacks. Keep that in mind, because I think this team is going to look real hard at the cuts at quarterback this weekend, and it would not surprise me at all if they sign a third guy.
Well, let's make the cuts tonight based on assuming that there's no additions that are going to be made.
Okay,
because, I mean, that's all in the hypotheticals, and we understand that could happen at any position whatsoever.
All right, well, let's start. The roster
is the way it is now. You can't get anybody. What's it going to be?
I agree, but I just wanted to go on record as saying it may be three quarterbacks.
I'm in total agreement with you. And I think bringing up those kind of points are absolutely necessary, because I think you kind of got to put a little asterisk next to that.
All right.
Bauman makes it.
If that is going to be the case, yes. But, I mean, you know, right now, I mean, it's going to be a two-quarterback roster. It's going to be David and Todd Bauman.
Okay. So then let's go to the offensive line, because didn't we have this conversation a couple of weeks ago that the offensive line would probably drive an extra player here or one fewer player there?
I think it could. I think it could drive an extra player there, to be perfectly honest with you. I think that's may, in fact, what it is.
They kept nine last year.
Yeah, and I think nine is probably where it's going to be at this year, because you've got to figure that on game day you've got seven. That's what you can keep on – typically what they have kept active on game day in the past. I think it's going to be right at nine.
All right. So here's the deal. Tony Pachos, as you probably heard last night, is going to move to right guard for this game. Is that a one-game test? Where do we start? who is going to be the starter at right tackle, well, at left tackle? Give us the line, and then we'll choose the backups.
I can't predict who's going to be the starter, but I mean, we know where it's going to be at when the end of the year rolls around. I mean, it's going to be it's going to be with youth. On opening day, not sure what it's going to be. I think Trey Thomas is going to make this team, whether he's a starter or he is not. He's a premium position player. In case you have a rookie who's struggling greatly, when you have a 13-year vet who's a proven commodity, he is absolutely going to be on this football team, whether he is starting or not. If I'm the GM.
If Evan Britton, in my opinion, plays well tomorrow night, then he is your starter at right tackle on opening day. And I think Tony Pashos then becomes a real serious cut possibility over the weekend. Now, that's just my opinion. I say that because this is a team in a serious youth movement, and they have a lot of players such as Tony Pashos, which is to say Mo Williams, who played right tackle, Jordan Black, who can play right tackle. Trey Thomas could certainly play over there in a pinch. Why would you keep the most expensive model?
But let me bring this up, because I know you've brought that up before, because you're talking about Trey and Tony, that they are or can be expensive guys.
Not so much Trey.
Not so much Trey. But last year, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. but I think last year that they didn't meet the cap as far as minimum pay.
I can also give you a little more information
okay.
on that, too.
So, and tell me if I'm going in the wrong direction. But because they didn't get to the cap, you know, this team, I don't think, is so much worried about salaries.
Mm-hmm.
This roster, the decisions are going to be made based purely on playing potential alone this year, because there are no cap issues.
Explain that to folks who might not be following you.
For example, last year, they didn't meet the minimum threshold required, and so after the books were done, they determined this team spent X amount of dollars on payroll. It didn't meet the minimum. So every player, based on playing time, got a little bonus check basically at the end of the year to get the team to the minimum amount of money. Am I wrong?
I don't know what you're saying. I don't know. I don't have that information. So
And maybe I'm wrong on that.
I have another piece of information. You go ahead with
give
yours.
Me the other piece of information.
Well, John Clayton told me.
A very reputable source.
You probably heard him on my show on Monday.
I did.
All right. John Clayton told me that last year.
He was very good.
He's always very
good. Just wish you'd held up your end of the bargain. I'm just kidding. It was great
radio. I was
concerned. Loved it.
I was concerned about getting in and out of breaks.
No, Vic, it was great.
I am no longer a source of information these shows. I am now a professional broadcaster.
I enjoyed it thoroughly, and I was
You should be proud to be amongst those ranks.
For the 30 minutes that I was able to listen to it, Vic, you did a fantastic job, and you and John were great together.
Okay. Anyhow, Clayton had told me, and it wasn't Monday that he told me. He had told me before that last year, in his opinion, or at least by according to his factual information, the Kansas City Chiefs did not meet the minimum. Now, I've asked other people, did the Chiefs get to the minimum last year? Oh, yeah. Clayton says no. He says the league looked the other way and the union allowed it to happen, that they just knew that this was a team in a struggling situation, and they said, okay, you know, let it go. Might that happen with the Jaguars this year? I don't know. But how in the world could they... I mean, they're up against the minimum as it is, aren't they? And to start whacking these guys, you know, who are making $5 million a year, you'd go seriously beneath it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you know, I think money is not an issue.
I don't think it is either.
So that's why I'm saying these roster decisions are strictly based on performance alone.
Oh, no. I don't think monopoly money is an issue. I think real money is an issue for a team that is struggling. You know, with ticket sales, and clearly there's no name on the stadium, and there's empty seats in it, and that's a bad combination. Look, let's be realistic about this one more time. This is a stadium that has no name on it and empty seats in it, and that's not good for Wayne Weaver. That's not good for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and ultimately, it's not good for Jacksonville, for the city of Jacksonville, and the football fans. So I think that the real money is the real issue, not the monopoly money, which is my way of saying salary cap.
All right, so I could be completely wrong about last year, but the bottom line is that this roster is going to be determined by playing potential alone. So Let's cut the offense line before we hit a break.
Let me tell you who I have put in.
I don't agree with Jeff on that. But
all right. We'll talk about that next week. We'll find out.
I think this roster is going to be determined largely by a player's age.
All right, let's do this real quick. I have a star next to the names that I have guaranteed roster spots in the O-line. Let me read them to you. Tell me if I'm wrong. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll cut the line. Trey Thomas, Vinny Monowai, Brad Meester, Eugene Monroe, and Eben Britton. Guaranteed, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about who else might be part of the offensive line in 2009. You're listening to Jaguars This Week, only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
And we return to Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman.
Before we do our due diligence here, just let me say one thing about what we were talking about as far as age and, you know, youth movement and money and all that. Let's not forget that Fred Taylor was cut last winter. If Fred Taylor was on this roster, he would be worthy of making it, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. When he was released, it was said to us in a very forthright manner by the coach, by the general manager, that the team was moving on with youth. It was making a youth movement. You know, that Fred was released because Fred is an older player. I liked hearing that because it was truthful. Number one, because it was truthful, and number two, because it told me that this team's focus is on the future, and I like that. I like that because I don't think it's going to do any good to load up for this year. I don't think it's going to take you anywhere. I think the best thing this team can do right now is start working on its future, and in a year from now, 2 years from now, I think everyone will be glad they did.
All right, so we go back to our look at the roster, and as we went to the break, I asked you guys about five names on the offensive line that I thought were locks. The two rookies, obviously, Monroe and Britton. Then on the left side, Trey Thomas, left guard Vinny Monowai, and Brad Meester. If they keep nine, who else is there in your estimation?
It's five. One area's a lock.
One area's a lock.
That's six.
Do you have Mo Williams there?
I didn't, but
I think Mo Williams is here.
I'll put him in the lock category. Mm-hmm. He has the ability to play every position on the line. That's a good thing, and his contract is not out of whack.
All right, so
that's
now
seven.
you've got Jordan Black, Dennis Norman, Cameron Stevenson, and Tony Pashos.
I'll throw my two.
Pashos is in.
I'm going with Black and Stevenson.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to work out quite that way.
The debate then is on Tony Pashos, and you say because his salary is high and he's not long term as the starter, and you say because
he may have to be the starter. You know, I mean that's kind of when you go into a season and you're going to say, okay, we're going to move on and go with this rookie tackle. If injury happens, if performance doesn't quite meet par, you've got to have an option. And I think Tony Pashos presents not only an option to be a right tackle if he has to be, because I think Tony is a decent right tackle.
I do too.
And I think he could possibly play guard. I mean, it's not the ultimate position I envision him at, but I mean, Tony's limited athletically. I mean, that's his number one issue.
Yep.
Tony run blocks very well. Tony struggles when he has to play in a two-point stance and it's third and long and he's got to block Robert Mathis. A lot of people struggle with that. Tony Pashos struggles more than most. If they can run the football effectively, Tony is fine. I just don't think letting him go is an option.
All right. Well, you say, Vic, Black and Stevenson. You say Pashos and who? Black, Norman, Stevenson?
I think Norman is real iffy. I think it could be a Black and a Pashos.
Okay.
I think that could – and in my mind, I think if they do go with nine, because that's where we're at right now, if they do go with nine, I think it comes down to Stevenson, Black, and Dennis Norman, and Stevenson has shown that he really struggles with footwork. I think he's practice squad eligible, so I think that that's where he may end up going, and I think that's the same place that the young Cecil Newton will end up, is on practice squad.
All right. So two quarterbacks, nine offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. That's 11 on that side of the ball. Where do you want to go? You want to go to tight end, wide receiver?
Go to run back.
All right.
Because that to me, that's probably the most interesting one of them all.
Last year, they kept five.
And I think five's going to be the number.
Drew, Jones, and Owens, the lock.
Yeah, that's three locks.
All right. Where else?
I think
Jennings is a lock.
Yeah, I think they're going to go with Jennings because they drafted him for a reason. He had a very good OTA. I think he's going to make it. Although you didn't see a whole lot out of him in the preseason, that's a little discouraging. The last spot to me, if it is in fact five, I think is the most curious cut of them all. Do you go with a Josh Vaughn, you know, a rookie guy that has potential, or does he end up on practice squad? I believe that Chauncey Washington has had a pretty solid preseason, but he hadn't shown me enough in the past that makes me believe that he could be the guy. Alvin Pearman, I think, gives great flexibility because he can return punts, he can return kicks, he catches the ball out of the backfield, he can do basically whatever you ask him to do. He's a contributor on special teams, so I don't think Chauncey gives you all that much on teams.
This birdie keeps whispering in my ear, Brock Bowen, Brock Bowen. I mean,
I've heard that too.
I don't know why I'm supposed to believe this because I haven't seen anything, but he is a special teams guy. He is a guy who gives them something, whereas you don't need Alvin Pearman now, unfortunately, because I really like Alvin as a return guy. I think you know, Witherspoon, your guy Witherspoon, has certainly shown something. You've got other candidates. Nate Hughes looked pretty good there, depending what they do with Mike Thomas, some other guys too. Chauncey Washington doesn't help you on special teams. I don't think Josh Vaughn has shown any predisposition in that way. So the birdie keeps tweeting in my ear, Brock Bowen, Brock Bowen.
Yeah, and I've heard that too, but to be honest with you, I haven't seen enough.
I haven't seen anything.
Yeah. You know, and it maybe it's something that he's doing on special teams. Remember, he had the head injury, so he didn't play in Philadelphia.
No.
I think he was inactive, so you didn't really get a good look at him then. You haven't really seen a good look at him on offense. So, I mean, that's a really unknown unless you're really watching practice closely. And paying attention to fullbacks, which, I mean, to be honest with you, we don't do that.
No. But here's the thing for me, Jeff. If I don't pick Brock Bowen, then the birdie grabs me the next, you know, after they cut. I try to give it to you. I gave it to you 10 times, and you didn't listen to me. You see what I mean? You know what
no,
I mean?
The only question I have there, you've got Greg Jones, Montel Owens, and Brock Bowen. All are really fullbacks,
that's,
right?
That's why I think it's a tough name.
This team doesn't have a second running back. That's the problem.
And that's the question.
This team does not have a second running back. And
with a guy in Maurice that we all think has to be managed with his carries.
Well, I mean, who's going to be that guy? I mean, is Chauncey Washington
a candidate?
It's going to
be Greg Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be Greg Jones, I think, right out of the gate.
Are they going to run him?
With the hope that Rashad Jennings can eventually evolve into that.
Right. Was it the Bucs game that we saw Jones run the stretch play and get drugged down from behind 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, but you know, I don't think that type of play would be called for Greg so much. You know, once you get to the regular season, it's going to be the old Baltimore Ravens style that you saw last year where they ran the big back up the middle a bunch. I think that's what it would be.
All right.
But, you know, in preseason, you know, I don't think offensive coordinators are going, oh, man, we got Greg in there. We can't run that play. You know, in the preseason, you're just going
to
run it.
Well, what I'm trying to say is you wouldn't pick one guy. You wouldn't pick a guy over Brock Bowen because he's your second running back because none of those guys have the potential, offer the potential to be a second running back. If it's not Greg Jones or Rashad Jennings, then you're out of luck.
Jaguars fans, you can vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers for the second straight year. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org where you will find all the details on the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. All right, time for us to take a quick break. When we return, we will continue with our evaluation of the Jaguars roster. Still to come on the offensive side for you, the tight ends and the wide receivers, and, of course, the defensive side is not far behind. You're listening to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Our broadcast this evening is brought to you by Just X Watches. They're available exclusively at Espling Jewelers. 5 locations in Jacksonville to serve you. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman with you. 355-NFL1 is the phone number if you'd like to join us on the program. Going through the roster, giving our perspective, our 2 cents, if you will, on who, what, where, why, and when. We've taken a look at the offensive line. Quarterback, we've given it to Garrard and Bauman. Remember, we're not adding anybody at this point. We're not talking about the waiver wire. We're just looking at names. The offensive line, Trey Thomas, Vinny Manawai, Brad Meester, Uche Nwaneri, Eugene Monroe, Mo Williams, Ebbett Britton. Across the board, everyone said yes. You and Vic split on Tony Pasha.
Yeah, let me add this in, and that, you know, the way we have our formula, we're kind of breaking this down in pretty simple terms. 25 for the offense, 25 for the defense, and 3 on special teams. The way we have it kind of broken down right now, 2 quarterbacks, 5 running backs, 9 offensive linemen, 3 tight ends, and 5 running backs. I think those numbers can certainly be tweaked. Go ahead.
I think they keep 4 tight ends because Zach Miller is going to be one of them, and he's not ready to play.
If you keep 4 tight ends, then you got to subtract from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And my point is that if you need another roster spot, whether it be at running back, because you have 2 young players in Josh Vaughn and Rashad Jennings you haven't seen a lot of, although you can probably get either or both on practice squad, if you're going to have to subtract from one position group, I think it's offensive line. If that's the case, then there is no discussion. If Jordan Black or Dennis Norman or the guy that you like a lot,
Cameron Stevenson,
make it, I think that they're just not going to make it.
You know, it's funny. This year, I think if there's one group you can subtract from, it's the defensive line, and here's why. Last year, they kept 10. That was the most. 10 defensive backs and 10 defensive linemen. I don't know if you can find 10 guys worthy of a roster. And I hate putting guys on just because to satisfy a number. I think you're going to really struggle to find 10 defensive linemen who are worthy of an NFL roster.
And we'll go through that probably in the second hour here this evening. But let's get back to the offense. We've got the tight ends and the wide receivers to talk about. Let's go with tight ends since you mentioned it. Give me 4.
Pretty simple. I mean, Mercedes, Zach,
Miller.
Miller. I think those are your top 2. I mean, as far as, you know,
Mike
as
Tice
much
was
as they like.
Raving about Estandia.
What did Tice tell you about Miller last night?
He said he wouldn't. He said he'd like to be able to go, but he can't. I've been told, tweeted, that it's a bone bruise.
I'd knock it up a notch.
Okay.
It's a bone something. And it's worse than a bruise.
All right. Well, so, I mean, I don't know. That's all I know is that he's probably not going to be ready to go on opening day. I mean, he would be a candidate for PUP, right?
Oh, no. To be on PUP, you have...
you missed the first 6 games.
Yeah, you can't practice.
You can't practice.
That's why they put Considine on PUP before he came to camp. If you're in one practice in training camp, you can't be on PUP.
I was not aware of that.
Oh, yeah. No, he's going to be on the active roster. The choices are injured reserve or active roster.
All right, so... Lewis Miller, I'm telling you, last night, Mike Tice raved about Estandia.
Okay? I think it's those 3. I think that's it.
I think they'll keep 4 because Miller won't be ready to go and probably till the end of September.
I don't think they will.
Okay.
I think if they need an extra tight end, Vic, I don't know if you saw during training camp, but there was a few times where in training camp practice when they needed an extra tight end, they actually had Ebbett Britton.
I saw that.
At tight end.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I think that becomes your extra tight end.
Okay. So if they would,
I mean, in reality, I mean, is it, you really want to keep Richard Angulo?
Here's the deal. If you keep Brock Bolin, then you don't need the 4th tight end because he becomes that H block.
Yeah, but then you're subtracting somewhere.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I'm with Jeff on this one. There's no sense, like I said. Why keep numbers just to satisfy a number? The guy's got to be roster worthy.
Exactly, and if keeping somebody extra just because Zach Miller's not ready for opening day, I think would be crazy. And on top of that, if it's a vested veteran and he's on the opening day roster, he's guaranteed a salary. Do you want to have a guaranteed salary to a guy that you really didn't want to keep?
Bingo.
To begin with.
Bingo.
You know, probably
mm-hmm.
not.
All right, on to wide receiver then.
I think the number there is 6.
I think it's 5. Last year they kept 6. That included Jerry Porter. Who had the hamstring surgery and was good, was looking at an extended recovery period.
I think the number 6, and let me tell you my 6, and then you mm-hmm. subtract 1.
Okay.
Okay. I've got Torrey Holt, Mike Sims-Walker, by the way, name change.
He makes it, even though he hasn't.
Yeah, I think he does.
I agree.
Jarrett Dillard, Mike Thomas, Troy Williamson, and Nate Hughes. Now, if my 6 is too many, who comes off?
I take Thomas off and put him on injured reserve. Unless he absolutely lights it up tomorrow night. But, I mean, The guy practiced 2 days in training camp, and we haven't seen him since.
If he's healthy, here's the thing with that, and I agree with you. If he's not ready, then you got to put him on IR. But if he shows you that he's on his way, do you waste an entire year in his development by having him on injury reserve where he can't practice, he can't do anything except for rehab and train in the weight room? Does that really benefit him? I mean, after all, you're going on game day with 45 guys.
Yeah, but is he not going to be deactivated all year long?
Maybe, but maybe not. I mean, these are young guys. You can place them on injury reserve at any time.
You make a compelling argument. You always win me over.
Thank you.
And I see what you're saying, but my point is, six wide receivers.
It's heavy.
Yeah, on a team that isn't real heavy with talent at that position. I don't know if these guys.
But it's all developing talent, and I think it's all talent that you believe can be something in the future. I think Tyquan Underwood is practice squad, and maybe Todd Peterson. But I really believe that those guys, they believed in for a reason and believed in. That's why they.
I'll tell you what, you won me over. You won me over. I'll go with six and put Mike Thomas on. I want youth to be served.
You should consider a seat in Congress. You're becoming so.
The reason I'm saying that it's easy to keep six, or it's probably easier to keep six at this position, is that these guys, you can just put them right on injury reserve,
right,
or you can cut them and they're not guaranteed a salary. Once teams start to get rolling, they're not looking to adjust their roster, and you can slip them on the practice squad.
And there's another reason to take a guy like Mike Thomas and put him on and go heavy at the position, and here's why. And it's another reason to put Tyquan Underwood on the practice squad and go heavy with wide receivers and Toto. The reason is we're not absolutely sure that Torrey Holt's legs are going to make it through a whole season.
Or that Mike Walker can make it.
We're not absolutely sure that Mike Walker can hold up.
Or that Troy Williamson can stay healthy.
Or that he's real, for real.
That's right.
You've got the guys we got at the top, the locks. Okay, well, Torrey Holt's a lock, Troy Williamson's a lock, right? Mike Sims-Walker's a lock. These guys in other situations would not be locks. So Jeff's made a persuasive argument, and he's won me over.
Any word on Nate Hughes?
No, you're not going to get anything out of Jack this week. I mean,
he's not
I don't even know what's wrong
week,
with Daryl Smith. I mean, we don't know if he's if he has an injury at all. I mean, they're not bound.
Right, they don't have to, so they don't.
Obligated to say anything, and they're not saying anything.
All right, let's take a break. You're listening to Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio WOKV. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to the defensive side of the ball. You're listening on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
All right, so we've taken our best guess at the offense and now turn our attention to the defensive side of the ball, and we'll start on the defensive line. Because, Vic, quite frankly, you said you didn't think you could find 10. So,
yeah,
how many do you think they keep? And then give me your...
This is really interesting stuff here, Jeff, because is this team going to be a 3-4 or a 4-3? Now, if it's a 3-4, you cut those numbers down on the line and you jack them up at linebacker. I can remember covering the Steelers 1 year. They kept 10 linebackers. That's what a 3-4 team does. Now, last year they kept 10 defensive linemen and 6 linebackers. If we use those same numbers,
it's going to be a little off.
Find me 10 linemen.
It's not going to be 10 linemen. It's going to be 9.
Okay. And linebackers?
I'm assuming it's going to be 9. 6 linebackers.
Okay, 9 and 6.
Because I think they got to go heavy, I think, in the secondary.
Okay, give me nine defensive linemen.
All right, you got Derek Harvey, Quentin Groves, Reggie Hayward, and I think Julius Williams makes it.
Okay, I got those
and
guys,
real
too.
Real quick, what have you seen from him in the last...
Julius Williams?
Yeah.
Just a raw talent. You know, one of those guys that you'd like to have to continue to work. Mm-hmm. Hadn't flashed a whole lot.
Did you see anything in the Eagles game?
You know, he just shows that he's athletic at times. He shows that he's strong at times. And so I think that he's got potential.
Okay.
You know, so let's leave him there. So that's 4 defensive ends. And mm-hmm. because we're going to play a little 4-3, we're going to keep 5 defensive tackles.
We're on the same page. That's exactly what I did.
And to me, this, you know, I think John Henderson, Terrence Knight, and your two starters.
Okay.
Derek Landry, Rob Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a real toss-up between Montavious Stanley and Atiyah Ellison, because Atiyah Ellison has just disappeared.
He disappeared. Here's the question I have for you, Jeff. Are you sure about Rob Meyer?
No. But if Atiyah Ellison had been mm-hmm. really productive, mm-hmm. I would not be sure about Rob Meyer. But because he hasn't done a whole lot, it makes me more sure that he's going to be back.
Mm-hmm. He has had an injury that has slowed him down. I don't know what that injury is, but there's some kind of an injury there. And let's not forget that they did a new deal with him a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So they put some money in his hand. That's to his benefit in this case. But his age is clearly not to his benefit. In fact, Clayton said on Monday night, I don't know if he's right or wrong, I'll just assume because he's JC, which stands for John Clayton,
mm-hmm.
not the other JC.
Who's the other JC?
Jesus Clayton.
Whatever.
Some people say that that's what it stands for.
You
see, you get what I'm saying.
You know. Anyhow,
he has a high opinion of his work. Anyhow,
taking a shot at John Clayton.
I had to. I mean, the JC would be.
Well, why didn't you do that?
They called him JC.
Not you, big chicken.
He's such a nice guy. I can't. You know. Anyhow,
chicken.
Should
have told him that last time.
Clayton
night.
Said they had.
He'd kick your butt.
Clayton, I could still get him. Do you remember the cereal Quisp and Quake?
No.
You don't remember the cereal Quisp and Quake? Joe, you do. It was a cereal Quisp and Quake.
What's it like? Cheerios, Fruit Loops?
It was two characters. I don't know. It was sugar-coated. Sugar, I mean, you just shook all day long if you had a bowl of cereal in the morning. There were two characters. One was Quisp and one was Quake. Clayton's Quisp.
Okay.
Anyhow.
Watch me.
I'm going to have to check, find out on the internet. But go ahead.
Yeah.
John said
that the Jaguars had the fourth oldest defense in the league, and that's with Rob Meyer at defensive tackle next to John Henderson, you see. So Rob Meyer's got the new contract, a one-year-old contract in his corner, but age is clearly not in his corner.
In his 10th year. And Montavious Stanley is in his fourth year. Atiyah Ellison would be in his third year. I understand where you could see that.
But are any of these guys worth
five,
a hill of beans?
Let me ask you this. You keep five defensive tackles, okay? We know who the locks are. And you have a choice of one between, or two, between Rob Meyer, Montavious Stanley, and Atiyah Ellison. Give me two out of those three. Who do you think, out of those three, two that could make it in our five-deep defensive tackle spot?
I don't know. None of these names are you know, flicking my bick.
Well, is it possible that Harvey, Groves, and Williams are really linebackers in what they want to do defensively, and Reggie Hayward is the fifth defensive tackle?
They've been playing him at tackle. He's been playing
That's what
tackle.
I mean. I've seen that.
It's end.
Well, right, absolutely. It's end in this situation.
Yeah, it's an end in the 3-4.
And so you're...
Well, no, he's been, from my understanding, he's logged some tackled. He said in an interview down the hall that he's logged some tackle time, real tackle
as a pass rusher.
Okay, an inside guy, yeah. I don't know. What about this Jeremy Navarre? Is he... No, okay. Oh, that's great. Do they go looking in the waiver, on the waiver wire?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly, but you know... If it's nine, I think it's four defensive ends. To be honest with you, James Weish, Navarre, no.
Maybe they do play 3-4.
Neither one of those two guys, I think, are going to make it. So,
well, if you look at this, you said six linebackers, right?
Yeah.
But if you see Harvey, Groves, and Williams, all of whom have had more time with their hand off the ground than on it,
yeah,
as linebackers, backers, however you want to term it,
yeah. But I mean,
there's
guys,
nine linebackers
for our roster purposes. Those guys are counted as linemen.
Maybe they could play a 2-5.
Just a joke. They played a two.
Just a joke.
He's analyzing it. Though.
No, they actually played a 2-2-7 against the Eagles. Seven defensive backs.
Defensive line is what we're trying to say, folks, is defensive line is the primary issue with this team.
All right, let's go to the backers.
Do you agree with that? defensive line is the premier issue, primary issue with his team, issue of most concern.
It is, but if Derek Harvey and Quentin Groves all of a sudden turn out to be man killers, or I should say football crushers, then the concern is not so great. But they haven't really shown anything that they're going to be there yet.
That's correct.
You know, that's the concern. Because if you hit on those two guys, you wouldn't have the concern. If you had Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis as what they kind of envisioned them to be, mm-hmm. or a Julius Peppers and a Robert Mathis, because, you know, obviously Derek's a little bit bigger, would you have concern?
All right, go to the linebacker.
Well, no.
Before you do that, you were talking in Philly about John Henderson's performance.
He played well.
Philly.
Oh, yeah.
Against the Bucs.
Yeah, played well.
In Miami.
And Knighton was good, too, huh?
Yeah, oh, yeah. That, mm-hmm. I mean, those are your two starters, hands down. I mean, the two best defensive tackles on your roster.
Okay.
You know, with Rob Myers, the swing guy. Rob Myers kind of similar to Trey Thomas. You know what I mean?
If they can get one more year out of Rob Meyer the way Rob Meyer used to be before Rob Meyer became a starter,
thumbs up.
They got a chance.
There you go.
All right. And with that, we are rapidly approaching the end of this hour, and I don't want to dive too far into any one
topic.
Let's
do special teams real quick because okay. That's easy.
All right.
I mean, because there's really only two battles there. I mean, we know who the kicker's going to be. You know, it's Steve Weatherford's going to kick field goals from 60.
It's going to be. I think Podlish has an edge right now based on the number of attempts he's getting, so much more than Weatherford. If the Jaguars could move one of these guys, that's what they want to do. If somebody loses a punter, someone has a need there, and they could somehow move one of these guys for a seventh-round pick, that's the optimum thing. Weatherford has punted well. And by the way, in the Philadelphia game at the end, they put him in a situation to directionally punt. He hit a beautiful high punt and killed it on the sideline at the 19-yard line. The guy, he's not giving up. He's hanging in there.
I think he was in the lead early on.
Oh, yeah, he was killing the ball.
But Podlish has gotten so many more tries, I think, than Weatherford.
That one is a really tough call.
Yeah.
Really tough call.
If you have to make the decision.
If I had to pick him.
And yeah. Not just who why.
Who do you take?
I'd take Weatherford.
Why?
Because he proved to me last year in the season that he had consistency.
Interesting.
Podlish never really has shown me a consistency.
All right, now here comes the tough one.
Yeah.
Ooh. I like Josie, man. Don't you cut my man Josie.
He's good for the media. I'm all for the guy who's good for the media.
But he's right up against it.
He's got a tough – it's going to be tough.
He's got to call in all his chips on this one.
You know, and it's not so much because –
He's got a lot of chips.
I mean, he's on some quote-unquote billboards, so to speak. Yeah. Remember when Smenge was on the side of a building?
Yeah.
How could they cut him?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. But Jeremy Cain is not a young man. I mean, this is not so much a youth movement.
What do they save?
I don't think money's an issue there.
I don't. It's because it would be, what, $300,000, $400,000 at most?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's chicken feed.
What do you do?
$300,000-$400,000.
You know, I don't know. Do you go to a guy who can cover a little bit better, but doesn't maybe block quite as good on your field goal snaps?
But that is the issue, running down under the punts. That is the issue. Coverage.
Well, Josie's never been a great cover guy anyway. You don't pay your snapper to go down and make bone-crushing hits and punt coverage.
Never been much of a tight end either.
No. You pay your long snapper.
But he's great with the media, baby. Time. And that's what it's all about. He is
Joe
great
had
with
a
the
few,
media.
He had a few snaps last year that were a little off. You know, so they
put the heat on him. When a long snapper has a competitor in training camp, they're letting
I guarantee you that it's, Josie is feeling a lot of pressure.
If they cut him, I'm going to rip him.
You will?
Yep.
With the pen?
I'm going to rip the Jaguars.
Never fight with people who buy their ink by the barrel, right, Vic? We'll take a break and return with another hour of Jaguars this week presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. I'm Brian Sexton. Across the table, Jeff Loggeman. Vic Ketchman, the senior editor of Jaguars.com, is in the room, as is our own Joe Fortunato. You can join us, 355-NFL-1. I've said that, but we've been going through the roster. I haven't got too many calls. We will in the second hour. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. If you are listening on WOKV.com, we are on the defensive side of the ball, and we decided, what, 9 defensive linemen? Julius Williams, Quentin Groves, Derek Harvey, Reggie Hayward are the ends. Terrence Knighton, Rob Meyer, John Henderson, Derek Landry, and then either one of Stanley or Ellison, right?
Yeah.
Ellison.
Okay. Say Ellison.
Well, he's done something.
Well, Stanley's been more productive in the preseason games. But boy, did Ellison get a lot of kind of exposure from the coaching staff early on in training camp, yeah. And just kind of has faded.
Yeah, what's going on there?
I don't know. Just kind of faded. You know, so to me, that's going to be an interesting cut. He needs to have a big game tomorrow night. T. Ellison needs to have production.
I think they're going to look at the waiver wire hard.
And they may.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get a whole lot off the waiver wire.
No. But, you know, they have found guys in the past. Grady Jackson.
Clyde Simmons.
Yeah.
Well, we got a lot of production from Clyde.
Grady Jackson done a good job, too.
Real quick, Derek Landry. A lock?
Yeah, I think so, just because he's a – I think they like his energy. I think they like the way – and I think he plays hard. You know, he's not a guy that's going to be able to take on a couple 330-pound guys and just split the gap and come off and make a play. That's just not his game. He's a quick guy. He's kind of a – you know, the type of system that he would – probably fit better in than in what they're doing here is, you know, like that Tampa style Indianapolis where they're penetrating and getting off the ball.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a nice change up defensive tackle, you know, as opposed to Big John and obviously Knighton where they're just big, strong, powerful guys. But he did not play well against the box.
Well, I remember you saying that.
Did not play
That's
well.
That's why I ask.
And he knew it.
Lock. All right, on to the linebackers.
Oh, this is easy.
I mean, the 3 starters.
They kept 6 last year. If they keep 6 year, the 6 years this year, I think it's real simple. The 3 starters, and then Russell Allen, Brian Iwu, and either Tim Shaw or Thomas Williams.
I think Vic is right on the money. And to me, Shaw, he got dinged up, I think, in the first preseason game.
Yep.
Didn't play a whole lot in the last 2.
He played against Philadelphia. He did okay.
Played against Philadelphia, so it was kind of his first game back. Thomas Williams, to me, just, you know.
Well, Shaw's a much better special teams player.
There you go.
And the 6th linebacker better be.
Got to be. I mean, if you're going to have the guy active on game day, and you know, give me a reason to have the guy active. You know, but I don't think there's any question that Russell Allen, this young rookie free agent from San Diego State, has – carved himself a nice little spot as the 5th linebacker.
The local kid, Johnny Williams, is there anything there?
He's flashed at times. You know, he's come up, made a couple big hits and a couple big plays, but then he kind of, you know, flashes and all of a sudden, where'd he go last 4 or 5 plays? You know, I think he's a candidate for practice squad.
Fletcher High kid.
This defensive back situation, this is tough. This is going to be a good one here. I think you got 5 right off the top that are real easy. They kept 10 last year. Would you stick with that number? I think you could find 10 worthy.
On my number, I got 10, yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
I got 4 safeties and I got 6 corners.
I've got 5 and 5.
Okay. What I've got, Brian Williams and Rasheen.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the 3rd round pick, Derek Cox.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Starks.
Mm-hmm. I got him too.
Tyron Brackenridge.
I got him too.
Brian Witherspoon.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. I do have 6 cornerbacks, yes. I have all those guys.
And then at safety, I think this is where things can be, we'll see, you know. Reggie Nelson, Sean Considine, Gerald Alexander, and Marlon McCree got hurt. So that could open the door for Kenard Cox as a safety.
This is exactly what I have with this caveat. I think that if there's one guy, I think he's headed for the practice squad, but along with Michael Desermo. But if there's one guy who tomorrow night could pull a Montel Owens, remember what Montel Owens did in Atlanta in the 06 preseason finale?
Pete
Edersegan.
Yep.
If he was to light it up tomorrow night, he had an interception earlier this preseason. If he was
you can make a case for him making the roster right now.
I believe so, too.
I think out of Brackenridge.
But that's seven corners then.
Yeah.
Well, make the case. There's a lot of folks that
because
like
if,
him.
If you look at, okay, the other ones that we're talking about making roster spots, okay. I'm not talking starters now. I'm talking backups. And right. This is strictly from a special team standpoint. Scotty Starks is a very productive special teams player, but he's coming off a knee.
He played well against the Eagles, did he not?
Played well against the Eagles after having the game off against the Bucs. So he had a nice little bounce back game there. But Witherspoon, okay, ignore him because he's a return guy.
That's right.
Okay. So from Scotty Starks to Brackenridge to any of the other backup defensive backs, Pete Intersagan may be your most productive special teams player. So don't count him out.
Something else too. If Cox was to, what if Cox, who hasn't played yet, Derek Cox, what if he was to have a great game tomorrow night? Can he close the ground on Brian Williams
for a starting job against Peyton Manning opening day? Oh no, but he's going to be on the field a bunch. I mean, you're basically going to be starting in three defensive back set in your nickel package for the most part. Or I don't want to say starting out in that because they run the two tight end sets with Gian Robinson and Dallas Clark, but Dallas Clark is essentially a slot receiver, so you're going to be playing a lot of nickel. So whoever the third corner is going to be essentially starting.
Okay, we got the roster cut.
Well, real quick, Tyron Brackenridge, what's his role? Is he active
breaking,
on game day?
I think he will be, particularly against the Indianapolises, the Houstons, where the teams that are going to put a lot of people out on the field and spread it. You know, New England would be doing the same type of thing. You can't ever have too many corners.
He reminds me of a player I covered a long time ago, a guy named Sam Washington, cornerback from one of the SWAC schools.
Let me just add this real quick. You know, the only thing that kind of concerns me about him, he was in Kansas City, right?
And New York.
And New York.
You know what the raps are? I'll give them to you if you want to know.
Okay. Kansas City, terrible secondary. He didn't stick.
Well, he was there a couple years. I mean, he kind of back and forth, back and forth. Okay. I can tell you what the rap was.
What's the rap?
He ran a 4.68 at his combine. So immediately it was hung on him slow. He'll never get rid of it.
Okay.
If he won the Olympic 100-meter dash, it's still they consider him slow. He goes to New York. He's with the Jets. And he told me that he got the rap there for being a guy who spent a little too much time in the tub.
Okay.
So here's this poor kid. And, oh, he's a great guy. Oh, I don't know if you've had time to talk to him. He is just a wonderful, wonderful person. He's got this poor guy's got, this is what they hung on him, slow and soft. How are you gonna overcome slow and
it's
soft?
It's tough. Hey, it's not easy. But, you know, much along the lines of defensively, needed a big game out of a T. Ellison. I really believe that in this game, Intersagan and then also Kennard Cox, they need to have big games.
Real quick, since we've cut the roster, how about giving me your starter at free safety? Is it Reggie Nelson?
Oh, yeah.
Has he done that much?
Yeah,
more?
That's not a doubt.
The other guy is coming. He is coming. Gerald Alexander is on the rise and in practice this week. That's what the birdie has told me.
Well, the one thing that I love about Reggie, great hands, great ball skills, can cover ground like nobody's business. And it was interesting watching the Eagles preseason game. And, Vic, you'll appreciate this. You know, when you watch Reggie Nelson and then you watch Sean Considine, and if you watch them out on the field and say, all right, guys, come on, bring your track shoes. We're going to go run 40. Reggie would smoke.
Oh, there's no question.
Well, you'd smoke.
Just about every safety in the league.
But then when you put these guys in pads and you say, okay, play your spots, and then you put them on a clock as far as when they're going to get to where they need to be, Sean's beating Reggie.
Hmm.
And the reason that he's beating him is that
two steps ahead mentally.
Well, I think that first and foremost is that Reggie's still young, and he's still a student of the game. He needs to finish that undergraduate work and kind of go to grad school. You know, and as far as to know where to train his eyes to look. And I think when he starts to get that, and I think it's getting better, when he gets that, he's going to be a faster player on the field, and he's going to really, really be able to show you those type or that type of speed, and to be able to make plays like an Ed Reed.
But Considine is in the master's program, if not doctoral.
Well, I don't want to say that, but he's very disciplined on where his eyes look. I mean, his safety, just like any position, has a read. And they've got to watch where their reads are, and then that takes them to the next read and where they need to be and obviously gets themselves in a position to make a play. I think Reggie sometimes tries to do too much. You know, there's the old saying, Vic, do your job.
That's right.
And I think Reggie sometimes tries to do a little bit more than that. Ed Reed is such a great player in Baltimore because Ed takes care of his job, and then once he does that, he can do it quickly because he knows exactly what's coming. He anticipates, and then he kind of starts to cheat once he's kind of covered that, and then starts to cheat and vacate his job a little bit. But he covers it first, and then he starts to cheat. Mm-hmm. Reggie needs to cover his first, then he can start to cheat. Reggie's problem is he starts to kind of ease into his job sometimes, I think, and then all of a sudden he's like caught between cheating and doing the job.
You know, Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu have a fantastic advantage that Bob Sanders has never enjoyed. Reed and Polamalu are surrounded by great defensive players. Bob Sanders is the only guy on that defense who's worth anything.
Oh, come on now.
Well,
Freeney,
although he has, you know, with the foot thing, you know.
For the last couple of years, yeah. But I mean, Freeney and Mathis are tremendous football players. Tremendous players.
Freeney, for sure.
Mathis is a tremendous player. He's been better than Freeney.
Okay.
For the last couple of years.
You know, that defense right now is getting hammered.
Well, and
that
Sanders
Indianapolis
is out.
Defense.
Right, he's going to end
that's
up,
right.
He's going to end
out.
Up out for
and he's
the
out.
First six games of the year. All right, we'll take a break and return. More Jaguars this week, right after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
We return to Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio WOKV. Go till straight up 8 o'clock. Sexton, Logan, and Catchman, Fortunato. And now we open the phone lines, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. What do you think? Did we cut it right? Who would you let go? Any surprises on your mind? You got the number.
And most of all, you know, what are people's thoughts here as we head into this final preseason game? And, you know, the commissioner called out the town yesterday.
I have still not seen those comments. Can you share them?
Go to NFL.com.
That's where I'm headed.
You know, I can share with you the fact that he said that
there
were 10 teams facing blackout problems, and then he spent the rest of the time talking about only one of those teams.
This one.
Did he list any of the other cities that are having difficulties with tickets, or did he just...
Kind of no. I mean, San Diego is being prominently mentioned because they're a winner. You know, the other teams that are really challenged here are Detroit, Kansas City, and Oakland. But you know, they're coming off horrible seasons, and they're not expecting much in the way of improvement this year. You could kind of say that about the Jaguars. True, they're coming off a very bad season, and no one is predicting them to make the playoffs. Or if they are, they're one of the few that are predicting them to make the playoffs. So, but San Diego is a completely different situation. This is a team that a lot of people are picking to go to the Super Bowl. Of course, they also have a giant-sized stadium. But, you know, I mean, I think San Diego is the one that really wears the hair shirt.
Pretty
on
big
this.
Market, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big stadium, but that's a much bigger market than it is here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to make excuses. Lord knows. I've been on this no excuses campaign, and I really believe in it. But, you know, the football fans of San Diego, I think the finger points at them as much as it points at Jacksonville. Hmm. Detroit, I mean, it's completely understandable. Not only were they 0-16, you know, the automotive industry has completely collapsed there. I mean, that's totally understandable. And this is what I can tell you about Detroit. Once they start making cars again and they win a game, they'll be full. You don't ever worry about Detroit as a sports town. Detroit is a fabulous sports town. The Oakland situation, that's from Mars. I mean, there's no describing that. I mean, the owner is completely...
You mean to read just a couple lines of the story?
This is the Associated Press story on NFL.com. It said, during a visit to the Redskins, Goodell was specifically asked about the Jaguars, whose season ticket base dropped from 42 to 25,000 tickets this season. The decline is such the team might not even bother asking for extensions in hopes of avoiding blackouts this year. Goodell said Jacksonville, one of the smallest markets in the league, is one of the markets we're seeing some challenges from ticket sales coming into the 2009 season. Quote, and we'll have other markets that'll have those challenges. It's all part of the challenges that we're seeing in the economy and what our clubs are going through. Our clubs have been working hard in the offseason to create other ways to try to get people in the stadiums and have policies that are a little more flexible, and hopefully they're going to pay dividends for us.
There was more said.
I'm just reading what there was.
All night long on the ESPN crawl. Goodell, Jacksonville faces multiple blackouts. You know, and there it goes a minute later. Goodell, Jacksonville faces multiple blackouts. A minute later, over and over and over all night long. You know, if you're a proud Jacksonville football fan, it's like getting hit over the head with a hammer all night long. You feel like crap. You know, it's like I said to a caller on Monday night on the Jaguars Monday show. I said, when the Jaguars came into existence in 1995, Jacksonville's reputation was that of a football crazy town. Is that the perception today?
No.
See, that's the cost in all of this. That's the loss of esteem. What was considered to be a football crazy town is now regarded nationally as a bad football town. And that's the simple fact, the sad simple fact of this whole malaise.
Couple other teams, the Minnesota Vikings aren't sold out yet.
No, but they're right on the edge.
Are they?
Yeah, they're close. They'll probably have blackouts, but they won't have eight of them.
Kansas City's going to have a bunch of blackouts.
They're likely to have eight.
That's an enormous, enormous stadium.
Yes, it is.
I mean, almost
80,000
seats. Almost 80,000 seats. For a long time, it was the second biggest stadium in the league.
What's the closest other NFL city to Kansas City?
St. Louis.
And how far is it? 250 miles away. Yeah. And then past that?
Well, I mean, it's 6 hours north to Minnesota. It's 4 hours to the east to St. Louis. It's 10 hours to the west to Denver. And it's 9 hours to the south to Dallas.
Okay. It's not like going from Philadelphia to New York.
No. or Philly to Baltimore.
Right.
Or Baltimore to Washington.
Washington, 35 miles away. Those people get a little
close.
Wait
a minute. Is it even 35 miles away because Washington actually plays?
That's right, in Landover, Maryland.
Yeah.
It's probably about 20.
20 minutes.
20 miles. You know, I forget what I was going to say.
I mean, St. Louis is one of those cities that's going to have trouble this year, too, selling tickets.
No, but
is Kansas City a big market?
No, it's a little bit bigger than this. It's about 2 million people.
It's a small market.
It's a small market relative to Philadelphia, Washington, where you're from, Baltimore. But there's 2 million people. They also have 81 baseball games there a year with the Royals that you don't have here in Jacksonville.
And St. Louis is going to be really, really challenged because they also gave $35 million to the second worst pick of the draft.
Jason Smith.
He's an absolute dud so far.
Is that what the word is on him?
Yeah.
So the Rams
you can't get in the starting lineup.
Oof.
On a team that has a great void at tackle or even guard.
Mm-mm-mm.
So those are just some of the teams, and obviously Tony Kornheiser lit the fire the other night.
Oh,
I guess
he ripped Jacksonville.
He took it apart.
Yeah,
and
was PTI right?
I didn't see it. I heard it.
It was PTI,
yeah,
Joe?
PTI.
Wilbon, you know, tried to stick up a little bit. But, I mean, Kornheiser just grabbed Jacksonville by both ears and just bounced their head off the wall.
What did he say?
Let's see. I mean, just...
We'll have to look it up in the break.
The usual things, you know, I mean...
The Waffle House.
Oh, no, it was all about the covers on the seats. Mostly about that. And I'll tell you what. The seat covers are a problem. The seat covers are only acceptable when the stadium's full. Yeah. When the stadium's not full, it's like, well, why are the covers are even there? You know, if you've got empty seats, then...
Well, Insurance Office of America is the one reason why they're there now. They're
paying
for it.
See, when you have empty seats, the seat covers make it more... They exacerbate the situation.
They give it a level of notoriety. We've reached the bottom of the hour, and time for some news here on News Talk Radio WOKV. We've got 30 more minutes of this radio program. We'll take your calls, questions, and comments. You're listening to Jaguars This Week only on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the brand new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. Brian Sexton and Jeff Logg have been back with you. Vic Ketchman disappeared. Where'd he go?
I think he went to the library.
All right. Well, whenever he comes back, we'll invite him back into the program. Forecast for tomorrow is heavy rain. Did you see that? Heavy rain and thunderstorms.
No.
Yep.
No, we're going to have a beautiful day tomorrow. Think positive, Brian. Come on, don't think like
Vic. I'm just giving you the forecast. I'm looking at Noah right now.
Glass is half full, baby.
I'm just looking at it and tell you, chance of precipitation, 80%.
Vic has a mug. You know how like everybody goes to a bar and they have a mug? Yeah. You know, certain places, you know, and it says Joe F or Brian S or just Vic.
Right.
You know, and you know, everybody's got the normal size beer mugs.
Yeah.
Vic always, when he goes to the bar, he's got a mug and it's like 32-ounce mug. But he only gets like 6 ounces at a time, so his glass is almost always empty.
Loggy's taking shots at you. You're not here. It was good-natured.
I'm not doing something for him, you know?
No. I was having fun. I was talking about, you know, your mug that you got at the bar. You got the 32-ounce jumbo mug, so you get 6 ounces at a time, so your glass is almost always empty.
That sounds right.
See? I told you.
That's the kind of fun you have here, folks. On the Wednesday night before the final preseason game. Glad to get the preseason over with.
Open the phone lines up. What's the phone number anyway?
I forgot. 355-NFL1.
NFL1.
Been the same for 13 years.
Is that 6351?
Yes. Okay. 355-6351, if you'd like to join us on the program this
season. Why am I looking forward to this season?
I'm looking forward to it in a big way. And you know what? The first couple games out of the gate, they are not going to be easy. Stiff challenges.
Indy and Indy, Arizona here.
But you know,
Houston.
The one thing I will say is that I think head coach Jack Del Rio, I think he coaches really well when he's the underdog. Because, you know, he can kind of rally that attitude throughout the locker room. I mean, it worked in 2007, and then last year is kind of the lead dog. It didn't work.
This team needs a breath mint, you know. This team needs a fresh start. It needs a new kind of feeling, a new kind of sensation.
Let me give you a new feeling, okay? Because I got a good feeling, okay? And the reason I have a good feeling is that Eugene Monroe, Evan Britton, Terrence Knighton, Derek Cox, and then not to mention the young tight end, Zach Miller, I mean, and Mike Thomas, you know, we don't know. But, I mean, of those guys there, we're talking starters.
Did you mention Terrence Knighton?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a new nucleus. That's what I mean by a breath mint. You know, to freshen this team's breath after a 5-11 stinker. And if that can happen this year, I think this market will warm to this team. I think that can change. You know, this is a real downer, this blackout situation, these attendance problems. And more than likely, guys, tomorrow night is going to set another all-time low record. You know, it's probably going to be, I mean, there's, what, rain in the forecast?
Oh, yeah.
It's a Thursday night. Probably this team will eclipse the record set against Tampa a week and a half ago for the smallest attendance, the lowest attendance in Jaguars history. And it's a bummer. I mean, it's a major downer. You hate to see it happen. We all came here together in 1995, and there was that freshness that I'm talking about was everywhere. It was the thing that bound us, that was common through all of us, was this wonderful enthusiasm for something fresh and new. And we need that again. If these young players can give that to this fan base this year, then I think we can get that next season.
And everybody can take a deep breath.
Listen.
Because,
guys,
this is really...
This is dangerous stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Empty seats aren't good. I mean, everyone's trying not to say it, but who are we kidding? There are major danger signals here. We're running a terrible risk.
When you've got the commissioner talking about it in another city, bringing you up, talking about you, it should make you nervous. 355-NFL-1. Take a couple phone calls. Let's go to Tim, who joins us in Green Cove Springs. Hello, Tim.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Good. Did y'all just mention Zach Miller, the new tight end?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, number one, I just want to ask how Zach Miller is going to be any different than Mercedes Lewis, Richard Angulo, and losing my train of thought here, but the other tight end we had, Greg Estandia. Uh-huh. Number one, that. Number two.
Now, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. How's he going to be any different as far as any better?
Any different as far as blocking and receiving. We've had those tight ends in the past.
Okay, we got the gist of your question. Now, what do you got next for us?
The next thing I got for you is the defensive coordinator,
Mel Tucker.
Yes. How is his new defense going to be able to implement in the second year? I mean, is that going to be successful or
now,
not?
Now, wait a minute. Now, this is a new defensive coordinator. It's not the second year, okay? And this is going to be, I think, a combination of Mel Tucker and Jack Del Rio's defense. Jack Del Rio's got his hands on this defense, okay? Vic, wouldn't you agree? I mean, watching in this kind of work in training camp, Jack is very much involved in the defense.
I have never seen a coach more hands-on than Jack Del Rio was in this training camp.
Okay, now to answer your first question, how do we see Zach Miller being, you know, not the same as Greg Estandia or Mercedes Lewis or Angulo?
It's not even close.
It ain't even close. I mean, I'm going to be
honest. As a receiver, you're talking about.
Yeah.
This guy's not a blocker caller. This guy is not this guy is not to be confused with your traditional tight end. This is more of an H-back kind of a guy.
This is going to be
Owen Daniels, a
Dallas Clark type player. Now, look, I know you haven't seen it. Okay, the preseason, he's been hurt. But first and foremost, let me just kind of back you up a little bit here because Mercedes Lewis is a fantastic blocking tight end. And he is a sufficient receiver. Is he great? No. But once he gets his hands on the ball, he is more than a capable runner. Okay, so there's absolutely nothing wrong with the production that Mercedes Lewis gives his football team. Zach Miller, I'm just telling you, Tim, hang tight, okay? As long as this guy stays healthy, the guy can run, he's athletic, and he's big enough to where he's going to be able to block. You're going to like him.
Yeah, but you understand, caller, no one is saying they're going to the Super Bowl. I mean, because I'm getting in your tone, you know, a kind of challenge.
He got your mug at the bar.
He's gone.
He did.
Well, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. The guy was sitting there questioning everything.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on this. Yeah. You know, I got to see the nail holes, too.
We all do. But, I mean, as far as, you know, believing that, you know, this player is going to be a good football player, yes, we believe that this player has a chance. Are we saying that he's going to come out and be Dallas Clark? No. But he looks like that he has the end game to reach that.
He's a different tight end. He's the kind of tight end that the Jaguars fans should love because this is not a blocking tight end. This is a receiving tight end.
He's a Chris Cooley, a Dallas Clark type of athlete.
Well, he's the closest thing to Pete Mitchell.
Without
the
experience, he's going to make Pete Mitchell look
terrible. Yeah, but you get my
slow.
Sense. Pete was
no
never
offense,
a blocker.
Pete.
Yep. 355-NFL-1. Let's grab Bob, who joins us out at the beat. Or, pardon me, on the south side. Hello, Bob. How are you tonight?
Hey, Vic and Jeff. Good.
Hello.
First of all, Vic, my son always enjoys the golf tournament.
Oh, well, I love hosting it.
Yes, he enjoys it. What I want to tell you about is one of the things about getting admission and criticizing, not you guys criticizing, but the admissions at the last home game, my son's friend who has 4 season tickets and has had them, has a 5-week-old and was refused admission for all of them because the 5-week-old did not have a ticket.
Right.
Now, my grandson has a 9-week-old, and we're told the same thing, that you have to buy a ticket for a 9-week-old. And it never used to be that way because it used to take my grandson up until the time he was 4, you know, where he could still sit on my lap.
I don't want to do the ticketing stuff, though. We want to make this a football show. What you're talking about is a ticketing problem.
Yeah, well, my point is that's why people are not going, is they're not being let in.
You're telling me people aren't going to the game because they won't let their five-week-olds in?
Yes.
Oh, no. Come on. Hey, you're going to get so mad at me, but I'm sorry. You just pushed the wrong button. Who the hell would bring a five-week-old to a ball game? Come on.
People who don't have a babysitter who are season ticket holders and have been season ticket holders. And I used to be able to take my grandson up until the time he was five.
And he would sit in my lap. The obvious solution, did you call the ticket office and ask?
Yes, it's an absolute thing. I've called, my son called, and...
And what was their response?
You have to buy a ticket.
Okay.
Now, what is the policy...
Now you have to buy a ticket for a five-week-old.
Yeah, well, what is the policy of other teams in the league? Do you know?
Yes, you can bring them in as long as they will sit on your lap.
For other teams in the league?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to take your word on that. I'm going to look into this.
No, I wouldn't call you to tell you something.
I respect that. I'm going to look into this.
It's ridiculous.
So you're saying that if I want to go to see the Dolphins or the Bucks play, and I have a five-year-old, God forbid.
Five-week-old.
Five-week-old.
Hey, I would take five-week-old.
I've done that before. I don't want to do that again, Bonnie.
Right.
And I guess I don't think we have any problem there.
I took my grandson up, and not at 5 weeks, but from the time he's like 6 months, you know, and a year in that range, and he sat on my lap up until the time he started pre-K, and then, of course, I had him buy a ticket, or, you know, use
that
ticket.
Might be a little much, you know.
So the Dolphins...
A three-year-old sit in your lap.
So if I took a five-week-old to the Dolphins game, they would let him in for free, or her?
The same one who is now about 7 weeks old has also gone to Orlando Magic basketball game.
Well, then, if that's true, if what you're telling me is true, then the Jaguars ought to let them.
Whoa! Did he say a 7-month-old?
7 week.
7-week-old. All right. You know what? I just can't believe that this is the source, the root of the Jaguars ticketing problem.
Nah.
I mean, it is for this gentleman. It is for his
Vic's
going to
check
friend,
on it for you there, Bob.
I can't believe that that's the reason a lot of people are not buying tickets.
I mean, at this point,
I don't believe.
I'll do anything to put butts in the seat. I mean, this is we're what was that line? You know, in Christmas Vacation, we're on the edge of hell here, Ellen. I mean, you know, we are on the precipice of some very, very dangerous territory. If I could fill this stadium with 5-week-olds, I'd do it.
Just seems like a stretch to me.
That counts as a rear.
If I could put 67,000 adults, each with a 5-week-old on their lap, imagine the noise would be fantastic.
Where's it stop though, right? I mean, if you say that it can be 6 months, but it can't be 7, well, you're going to have people call and complain about 7. And you're going to have people say, well, it could be up to a year.
I am going to check into it.
But you're going to have 13 months.
I am going to check into it.
I mean, you're going to have people that are going to try and get through to
pre-K. You know what? I'm going to look into this. Who knows? I might be the guy who opens this stadium up for 5-week-olds.
Yes, you know, if the kid gets severely burned because he's in the sun for 3 hours, it's going to be the team's
Absolutely.
Fault.
Absolutely.
Well, I got an answer for that. If you've been reading Ask Vic, I've told people this week, Jaguars are working on a shade machine.
We got to take our final break. Thanks for the call, Bob. We appreciate it. You're listening to Jaguars This Week for at least 10 more minutes on News Talk Radio, WOKV, depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
All right, time to wrap this one up. 6 or 7 minutes left in the program. We've got more callers about kids. Do you have any interest in entertaining
those? No. I'm gonna look into it. But you see, first of all, there's nothing I can do about it. This is a ticketing issue. We want to make this show about football. And you must also understand that the Jaguars have the second least expensive ticket in the league. They have given you half packs, third packs.
Now they're
full
doing a
packs.
Flex where you choose your three tickets.
I mean, they have done everything.
They're working it.
I mean, what's left to do? Have a nursery? Watch your baby while you go to the game? I mean, I just think it's unfair here to try to transfer the blame to the Jaguars. Come on, folks. This is your team. You have to buy tickets to support this team. It's not an obligation. It's not. You don't do it because you feel an obligation to do it. You do it because you want to do it, because you want to be at the game. Now, you can fight that. You can call and you can say, you're wrong, Vic. You're all wrong. But the bottom line is, if this continues, you're going to lose your team.
And with that, we're not going to take any more calls on the ticketing side of things tonight. Just going to move on and talk football because we only have 4 or 5 minutes left. Anybody in particular that you're watching on Thursday night? I mean, any one particular player that can make it or break it for himself?
I mean, if there's many. I mean, there's not really any one in particular. You know, the young wide receivers, well, I mean, it jumps right out at me. Derek Cox hasn't played yet. Mike Thomas hasn't played yet. I want to see what these two guys have got.
Third and fourth round choices.
It's unfortunate that you're not going to be able to see them, but for one preseason game to be able to make a roster spot for them or not, but that's what you got. But I don't think, because they're top picks as far as in the first four rounds, I mean, I think they're going to be on the football team. Unless Mike Thomas blows a hamstring out or something, then you say, okay, we don't have a choice. We got to put him on injured reserve. He's not ready, whatever. But, I mean, I'm probably the most anxious to see those two first. Rashad Jennings back after having limited action in Miami. But, I mean, those are the three guys I'm most excited about. You know, I mean, there's a lot of guys that I'd like to see because I think they got to have big games. But, I mean, those three guys, they need to have strong games, and I'm anxious to see them.
Well, the binoculars are going to be on Evan Britton and Eugene Monroe for me. This is a Jaguars team that is likely going to be facing number threes. A lot of
Albert Ainsworth didn't even.
They're not going to play their front people. So I think the expectation should be for the Jaguars rookies to do well, especially the high end rookies, the first and second and third round picks. They're going to be playing against guys who, in most cases, will have been acquired at a lower level by the Redskins.
Pashos at offensive guard.
Yeah, I think he's another one. But, I mean, Tony's a good football player. You know, I don't care where you're going to put him.
How does it change what they do?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's going to change what they want to call, but it's certainly going to change things greatly for Tony. I mean, setting as a tackle versus setting as a guard is very different. I'm going to be anxious to see him. But, I mean, you know, the two young guys, you know, I've watched Evan Britton, and by far in the first three preseason games, there's not one player on this roster that has made stair-stepped improvement week every week. And I'm talking first week, he was like, yeah, it ain't not bad. Second week, you're like, hey, that's pretty good. Third week, you're like, you know what, this guy might be able to start. I mean, that was his improvement every week. Eugene Monroe, I don't worry about him, but the one thing I want to see out of Eugene, I want to see some of Evan rub off on Eugene as far as finishing and being a little bit more physical because I think Evan has that, and I think Eugene needs to get that. But I'm not sitting there going, God, I want to see them because I haven't seen them yet. I know what they can do. I know what the expectations are for them.
I want a fresh start. I want to see a team full of young football players. A team that is building for the future. I want this to be 1995 all over again. I want to come out of this season and know that a nucleus, number one, first and foremost, I want to come out of this season and know that this team has established a nucleus for its future.
355 NFL1, though, we are rapidly approaching the end of the program. So don't forget, Jaguars and Redskins, the only place you can participate if you're not in the stadium is right here on the radio. We'll kick things off with the tailgate show at 4:30. 6:30, we pick up the network. 7:30, it's whistle-to-whistle coverage of the Jaguars and the Redskins, followed by the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the scoreboard show. All the action tomorrow right here on News Talk Radio and on WOKV.
You know, the other thing that I really want to see, too, I mean, just kind of one of these, you know, point 2B, would be Vince Monowai. I thought he made pretty good improvement throughout the preseason, but remember who Vince is going to see early on in the season. I mean, he's going to be facing
Haynesworth won't play
tomorrow. Well, he's not going to see him tomorrow. But you know what? I was hoping that Haynesworth would play in a limited amount because if there was one guy that used to be able to block Haynesworth one-on-one, It was Vince Monowai.
Yeah.
And I think we would have gotten a real good gauge as to where Vince would be at or is at if Haynesworth were playing.
Care to wager? Go ahead.
So if Vince gets in week one in Indianapolis, I mean, he gets a rub on Freeney, but his main guy is
Raheem Brock.
Raheem Brock.
No, it's Johnson.
Ed Johnson.
Okay. And now in this week two, he gets the kid from Florida State. He's a good player.
Darnell Dockett.
Good player. Yeah, he's a good player.
Good player. So, but I really wanted to see Vince against Haynesworth because you know what? You could have said, you know what? Vinny used to stand his ground well, or, you know, and then you could have seen tomorrow night if he would have done well or not.
That'll do it for the show, folks. Jaguars and Redskins, final preseason game before we kick things off for real on September the 13th in Indianapolis. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you tomorrow.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.